show that all board members are present and that we have previewed the minutes prior to today and are now signing those for both July and August. And we're to other business and OSU Extension and 4-H update.
Good morning, all. Good
morning. You look refreshed.
That's a relative statement, but I think we are. I managed 3 days of vacation to do a little steelhead fishing last week, and it certainly helped the mental process a little bit. So you may have heard we had an event last month. And the best pun I have is that the stars aligned, and the event was great. We had a great time. I think it's no secret that the swarms of people that we expected in town just never really happened. And I'll go through sort of our analysis of everything here. But the reality is our fair is just about even with where it was last year. And I feel very, very good with that, considering most of the businesses in town were reporting that weekend wasn't just a slow summer weekend, but was more like a winter weekend with the number of people that we had in town. So being right on par with last year is something I'm very, very pleased with. The front page of that is our P&L. I think that's reasonably accurate. As you see, it says draft at the top. There will be a few more miscellaneous receipts that come in. I just got off the phone with K&K Toilets today, and their bill is actually going to be about $4,600. So a few little adjustments there. But the long and the short of it is we ended with a very profitable year, about $21,000 in the black. So we're very, very happy with that. A couple of notables on the front page there. We captured almost $1,500 in revenue from helicopters this year. Last year, we just gave them the space and they flew. This year, they actually doubled the number of flights that they flew and gave us revenue to the tune of about $1,500. That also doesn't count the roughly $680 in flights that they comped to us. So you know, just promotional things that we're able to do to give some of those flights away. So that although we, you know, always deal with the one or two naysayers out there that are cranky and unhappy that there's a helicopter flying over, I think it's still an amazing opportunity for our local people to really see the area from a viewpoint that they wouldn't otherwise normally see. We do assure that the helicopter is operating within FAA rules, that their flight path is legal, that they're doing everything by the book, and we did try to really mitigate any of the sound when people would call us and say, hey, that thing's flying right over our house. We try to deviate the path and make it more acceptable to everybody. Also notable there is our beer and wine sales. We captured about twice as much revenue. We formed a partnership with the Eagles Lodge to do that service for us this year, and it was much more profitable than having Uphill do it in the years past. Those three other things on income to note that we haven't had before: the bleacher rentals. We did capture $1,800 back of our investment on those brand new bleachers by renting those to Linn County. Or Benton County. Also, the new camping area that we put in up there at 7th and Harney generated some revenue for us, and we did organize parking for the first year ever. So we've got some revenue production there. Under the services side, we contracted, as you may know, with Steve Mason to do sound service for us. That saved us about $2,500. We did spend a little extra in anticipation of the eclipse on garbage service, toilet service. We also rented for $300 from Coastal Refrigeration, a great big freezer trailer unit, and we brought in ice, anticipating that the vendors may not be able to get ice at cash and carry because the doggone city would be so busy everybody would run out of ice. And we paid extra for TCB security in the evening. So all all of those were expenses that were above and beyond what we would normally spend, and we still came out significantly in the black. So we're very, very happy with that. Page two are just sort of the, as I go through every year, some of the talking points that I look at every year to kind of get a baseline of where we're at. We're slightly up in our vendor space rental, about 14%, $9,000 in revenue in 2016, $10,000 this year. Food vendor revenue was slightly down, about 5% in their gross, and the net to us is really just a couple hundred dollars that we captured, or a couple hundred dollars less than what we got last year. Front gate numbers are always... they're all over the map. As you guys remember, we don't count anything but the front gate. And we know that we're shoving bodies around to other gates now that we're a free fair and people can come and go as they want. So I always continue to count that front gate number, but it never really gives me much of a baseline. I keep hoping things will stabilize and we can say, you know, based on the front gate number, this is what we think we had. But I think a much more reliable number is how much food service we did and that sort of thing rather than that front gate. You can see that it shows that we're, you know, roughly 25% down. I don't know how we're 25% down in bodies, but still have the same production in food vendor revenue and that sort of thing. Overall revenue, we're actually up 17%. Big, what I'm calling big show revenue, which was rodeo last year, this year was monster trucks, significantly up. We sold about 600 tickets at $5 a piece for the rodeo shows last year to generate $3,600 in revenue. This year we sold over 1,000 tickets at between $10 and $15 for the monster truck shows and generated $12,000 in revenue. So we're very happy with that. Helicopter, I talked about their gross last year was $6,700. This year was $13,000, so they're very, very happy. And our 4-H market auction, another barometer that we use every year, is almost identical to what it was last year. $25,563 last year, $25,300 this year, so just a $263 difference. And then, as always, the garbage production that we always look at. Last year we did 20 plus yards of garbage. This year we did exactly the same thing. So I think it's safe to assume that our numbers from last year, gate numbers wise, are about the same as well. We conservatively used 15,000 as our number last year, and I think this year it's safe to just stick with that number and say we had roughly 15,000 people at the fair. Anecdotally, other thing that I heard from Dave Miller was that the senior barbecue was a success and as busy as it was last year. They didn't sell out of food, but I think a big part of that was that they anticipated and bought more food, expecting that our Eclipse traffic would materialize, and it clearly didn't. So, but again, Dave seemed to think that it was as busy as it's ever been. So all in all, we're very, very pleased to be able to pull off even fair year after year on a year that was truly understated. I think we're very happy. I did put our fair net revenue numbers down there for you to look at. This is by far our most profitable fair in the last 3 years, and we're very pleased with that. $5,700 in 2015, $8,500 in 2016. A large part of that was the rodeo show that we ended up overpaying for and being able to undersell, and we really took it in the shorts to about $6,000 last year on rodeo. So if that hadn't happened, I think we would have seen an increase from $6,000 to $13,000 to $21,000 this year. So it's nice to see those revenue numbers climbing. We're starting to get, starting to get it figured out and making it a more profitable endeavor for all of us. So happy with all that. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Question, do you have any value placed on in-kind?
We will go back and tabulate that. Part of what we have to do for the OFA report is report our in-kind donations. I haven't done any of that yet this year.
I mean, including your time.
Yeah, so definitely tens of thousands of dollars of in-kind donations. Okay. And every year for the OFA report, we do calculate that.
Yeah. Just kind of a general comment. You know, we had anticipated this huge weekend in town because of the combination of the fair and the eclipse and everything. So I spent the entire weekend up in Public Works Building in my travel trailer in anticipation of all of this and not being able to get around. I was going to be there. So, that, you know. And it was eerily quiet in Newport the entire weekend. I know that for a fact. I would go out and drive the evening around dinner time, for instance. And normally, you know, the lines would be out the doors of the restaurants.
Right.
You could have walked into any restaurant in town and gotten to see. You could have gone down on Bay Boulevard and parked within 200 feet of your restaurant, which you can't even do at noon on a normal weekday. And things like that. It was eerie how few people there were in town.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Sunday night that I really kind of had a little epiphany and said, okay, where is everybody? Why are they not here? This is my own theory on it. But my belief is that we scared them away. There was way too much negative things out there about the eclipse weekend, about how bad the traffic was going to be, about how, you know, how full all the campgrounds and the, so forth it would be, and all the rest of it, plus being on the coast, our forecast of having a clear sky was less than, say, Madras or places like that. And yet, still, up in the Public Works Office on Friday, took a call from a woman who was interested in coming up for the eclipse. She was calling me from San Francisco. Sunday, around noon, one of the reasons I stayed up at the Public Works Building was because I could get on the Public Works computer and so forth and the radio system. But at about noon Sunday, I was sitting in the office in there and checking some stuff on the computer, and the phone rang, and just for grins and giggles, I picked it up. And it was a woman wanting to know if it was possible to get a campsite at Jack Morgan County Park. She wanted to, if there was, and all I could do was give her the landline, incidentally, that she was going to come down for the eclipse. She was calling me from Seattle. And 15 minutes from that phone call, I took another one, and I've forgotten where that gentleman was from, but it was, he wanted to know if he could get a spot at Moonshine Park. So I think there was a definite interest, if you will, you know. I mean, people heard about this. I mean, we're talking San Francisco to Seattle and all of this. But I think there was so much negativism about what town was going to be like. That combined with we had an iffy weather forecast, that we literally scared people away, and they went to Madras or someplace like that. I think we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, I'm talking about the entire community, by not taking some steps to try to counter some of that negativism that was consistently out there. My brother Neil, who lives in New Jersey, reads the Oregonian online. And for a week in advance of the eclipse, the Oregonian published the projected weather forecast for about 20 different cities in Oregon. And he calls me from New Jersey and tells me the Oregonian has been saying all week that Newport's going to be socked in, you won't be able to see it. Which I don't get the Oregonian, don't read, so I didn't know. But I think we could have helped ourselves locally in all of these respects, had somebody, and I don't know necessarily who to suggest would have been the appropriate body to do it, but taking some steps to assure people that we don't really think it's going to be as bad as you're going to hear. And I know that on KGW8, the weather forecast in the evening, for two nights prior to the eclipse, that their weather forecaster said there was a pretty good chance that, in fact, we were going to be able to see the eclipse here, contrary to what the Erie County was publishing. Now, incidentally, I have not looked, or did not look at the Erie County, so I'm just taking my brother's word for what he said. But my point is, I think that a whole lot of what happened here was a result of a huge pile of negative and little or no attempt to respond to it or to do things. It's just like this woman who calls from Seattle, and she wants to come down here and she wants a place to camp. And every property in town, even places that normally allow RVs to park, like Walmart, had big signs up. No camping, no parking, no nothing like that. All I could do was tell her to call the landline at Jack Martin and see if she could get the park host on the line and find out if there was a spot there. I should have been able to tell her, look, if you don't have a reserved camping spot, and I know they did this in other places, we've got an area, well, whatever it is, the fairgrounds or something, where, you know, if you're self-contained, or we'll have porta potties there, if all else fails, you can go there. We have a place for you. I couldn't tell her that. Couldn't tell that woman from San Francisco on Friday that either. I think we made some huge mistakes in not accentuating more of the positive and thinking about these kinds of things and being able to give people answers on where they could go, you know, if all else failed, that kind of thing. RVs. Again, I spent the entire weekend at the public service building. The middle school parking lot across from the public works building was not closed. The school district said they let people park there all weekend. There was not, you know, you could have parked, I don't know, 50 or 100 RVs in the middle school parking lot. There was not a single vehicle that spent the weekend in that parking lot. Not a single one. I know for a fact because I was there.
Let me give Bill a chance to speak a little.
I think you're making valid points, Jim. The problem is, I don't know, when there's so many different governmental units, so many different media sources putting stuff out there, how you control the messaging and how you override the most outrageous doom and gloom stuff. I mean, the county's messaging, I think we tried very hard to be reasonable. You know, we didn't tell people to stay away. We didn't tell people to shelter in place like some entities were. We just said, you know, allow extra time, be prepared for the unexpected. Come, you know, use some common sense and enjoy yourself. But, you know, and in addition to all the other stuff that you already cited, I think, and I'm hearing more and more in the weeks since the event, that the, how can I say, well, let's just call it price gouging by some, not all, but some lodging entities that all of a sudden decided they were going to kill the goose laying the golden egg and right. suddenly charge 2, 3, and 4 times their normal going rates, that what I'm hearing from, like, my friends in the Valley, that they didn't just say, oh, that's that one particular motel being greedy, and so come to the coast and you're going to get fleeced.
The litany of things goes on and on.
Yeah.
But my point let me just is, say we made this, no attempt to counter it.
Right, but unfortunately, no, there's nothing we can go to school on here because we can't
prepare for the next one.
Yeah, we're not good.
Right. I know that.
Yeah, all we can do is sit here and it's not going to help anything. No. Yes.
But the only other thing I'll say is that I think it's important to point out that the tourist numbers didn't materialize anywhere in the state. I-5 backed up from Portland to Eugene never happened.
Right.
Central Oregon, a friend that works in the OSP dispatch office and was assigned, you know, rotating 12-hour shifts, was sent home early on Saturday because the crowds never showed up. So it just, I haven't looked, but I want to look. PDX was reporting that that weekend was going to be their single busiest travel year in the history of the airport. And I'm guessing that didn't happen as well. I don't think it's just us, but Jim, I agree with you that there's the lesson to be learned is there's a huge difference between saying, this is going to be a crazy weekend. We're doing the preparation we need to make sure you have a good time. Come party with us. Yeah. Versus, oh my God, the sky is falling.
Right.
And I, if there's any lesson to be learned, it's that. Let's say we've got it under control and we want you to come play with us versus, oh my gosh, we don't have it under control. We're scared to death and you ought to go somewhere else.
Right. And Frank, I know we're not going to have another eclipse here for 38 years or whatever it is, but we are going to have other events. And I think this is the lesson to be learned from this one, that we need to be more
seismic event.
To get our messaging from the community to the public.
Well, let me give you my anecdote. I got called to the Holiday Inn Express, this family, please take us to Enterprise Auto. And I said to them, wow, you must have reserved this weeks ago. He said, no, I just called them.
Really? Wow.
But we're going east because even at that time of the day, it was not clear that we were going to see the eclipse.
Yeah, was it Sunday or early
Monday?
Monday morning. Yeah.
It cleared at 9 a.m.
Everybody got their stories. But
Can I just say a couple things anecdotally as well in terms of the fair? I can say one of the reasons our revenue from vendor reservations might have been up is that I had fewer nonprofits because the locals didn't want to come. And they only pay $50 compared to the 100 or 150 of the commercial vendors. The people from out of town were thrilled. They were glad to come. And when he said, yeah, we have free dry camping for you, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Great. I had people coming up from San Francisco to be vendors. So that made for some of that shift as well. One of the things, and I agree with Bill there, that the publicity on it, the official publicity, was fabulous. Because when people are calling me and saying, the bridge is closed, I'm like, really? Who said that? And so I went to all the sites. I went to ODOT. I went to our site. I went to the city sites. They had the document you guys put out was fabulous, frankly. I thought it was beautiful because it was very, it was what Todd was talking about. But here's what I got is that those official bits of information were out there, but then there are people talking about it. And the minute that the conversation happens in an official capacity, the problem is that if somebody hears a nurse from the hospital saying, oh my God, we're preparing, it's crazy, that steamrolls into what it is. And so there's a back end bit of work that needs to be done with the employees, with all of that. Right. And then just the other thing I'll throw out, I thought somebody had a brilliant idea, not that I know if we can accomplish it, but we do this every winter as well in this town and in this county when the valley kills us with their weather forecast. It's stormy, don't go. And it's like, it's stormy, come over. It's really cool.
It's
right?
Fun, yeah.
It's like, God, if we could just have a person that did that sort of troubleshooting with those media agencies and figured out how to change those relationships. Again, I don't know who that is or how that happens.
Again,
but
I know that Todd's correct that the other areas of the state were down too.
All down.
Yeah. My point is, I don't think we were nearly positive enough as a community in our messaging about this event and what we had to offer.
But years ago, not our current emergency services director, but our former emergency services director, Jim Hawley, took one of the Portland stations to task because they reported a killer storm was heading to the Georgia coast, 60-mile-an-hour winds,
That headline should have been Surfs Up.
The hype and the exaggeration, and they said each rating point for Portland television, your rating point goes up 1 point, that means an extra $1 million a year in revenue.
Exactly. Yeah.
What we should do is create our fictional, what's that creature that comes out on Groundhog Day?
Oh, Punch the Honey.
Yeah. Create our little creature who comes out and says, wow, it's great here on the coast. Whatever.
So
I did want to ask you because I didn't get there on Monday. What? How would you?
Oh, yeah, that's what I.
How would you?
Monday was
kind of turned
out. Monday was great. We had 200 to 300 people.
Oh, excellent.
We had music, great music. We had probably at least half of our food vendors stuck around. It was wonderful, and we didn't make a dime on it. We didn't charge the vendors revenue. We paid for the music, and we had a wonderful time. It was really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody knows about this issue of the solar eclipse in November, right? About Africa. Did you hear about this?
No.
Anyway, so if we have any large surplus of glasses,
the sheriff's office has been coordinating a collection. What do they call it? Something.
Who's coordinating?
The sheriff's office.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's
glasses
a group.
Without borders.
Glasses without borders.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of our 4-H leaders actually already collected a chunk of them from us. I'll see what else we have to give them.
So we can deliver. I've got a big pile of them.
Yeah, if you could just want to drop them off here.
Yeah, we had one or two left over.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's bring some closure to your report.
That's all I had.
One more question.
Is now, or what? What about a status update on the potential discussion of moving the fair?
It's on my list. Give me. I've got one thing ahead of that, and then let's talk about it.
Let me just finish. Wants the check that didn't get handed out, the $10,000 to American Thunder Motorsports. Do you want to take that or?
And the reason we didn't end up giving them that check is that the total bill ended up less than that check, and we didn't want them to owe us money, so we were able to pay that out of our food vendor revenue.
Excellent.
Yes, and so they returned the check, or we never gave it to them. We gave them food vendor revenue instead.
And my last bit is a huge thank you to the Fair Board for authorizing the golf cart. I wouldn't be here if we hadn't had that. So it is much, much appreciated, and will be continue to be appreciated as we go through the year. So,
if you could point out something you would have done differently, what, if anything? I mean, I was looking at the cost of that monster truck, for example. I assume that's a good expense.
Again, we made more on the monster truck show hands down than we did on rodeo last year.
Yeah.
That was a win-win.
And to sort of answer that, I mean, we learn every single year.
Yeah.
One thing is we won't have our beer tasting event from 12 to 4. We'll have it from 3 to 7, along those lines, where we're not competing with the lunch kid crowd and the adults want to come in and do beer. Not that it wasn't successful. It was successful, but things like that. And Monster Trucks Rodeo, we'd love to have a combination of those two events. So we learn a ton every single year, and it certainly helps us improve each year.
I don't think there's one big oops. Yeah. To label this year. I think everything went the way we wanted it. As Michelle said, we always learn little scheduling things and say, oh, if we just did this here, it would be better. But I don't think there's anything that we said, well, we won't make that mistake again.
Given how purely quiet the town was, I was surprised at how many people were at the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I know the attendance numbers don't look that great, but if you looked at saw the rest of the town,
exactly.
Kind of like I did,
right.
If there was anybody in town, they were at the fair.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were thrilled.
Right.
I think that's the one weird thing that people ventured out for.
Yeah.
And the signage was really noticeably different.
It's because there are no cars blocking it.
Yeah, and that's a constant place we can improve.
Well, you guys did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate that.
Last thought about this question that was raised.
Well, so very quickly, let me just go to OFA real quick.
Okay.
That comes up in October. I would like to boost our presence there a little bit. And we certainly have revenue left over from the fair this year to do that. I would like to take not only Michelle, but Colleen Robert, our open class superintendent, Bill Rendell, our monster truck / rodeo superintendent, and Steve Mason, our sound guy and entertainment promoter, to that event. I think the combination of those will help us attract some better, different entertainment, including Monster Truck and Rodeo or other shows that we can do in the arena, other stuff that we can do on the soundstage. Colleen has done a phenomenal job organizing the open class exhibits in the main hall. So I'd like to have five of us go, including any of you, or in addition to any of you that would like to come as well. And I think we've got the revenue to do it. So
do we need to formally authorize that? I mean, does it make sense to me?
I will so move.
Second.
All right. So all those in favor of who's doing it, 4-H or OSU?
Who's paying for it or who's
requesting the money of us?
It's the fair.
It's the fair.
The fair. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and how are you representing it?
Can we get a number, maybe?
want to say five people or?
Well, here's what we know. We'll need 4 or 5 rooms. Well, 4 because Colleen's local. So we'll need 4 rooms at $139 a night times 2 nights, so roughly $1,000. And meals are roughly 100 each. So we're about $1,500.
Let's just authorize the people.
Okay.
And what are
say five people?
Five total people.
Okay, yeah, I figured that out.
I'll amend my motion. We will authorize 5 fair representatives in addition to any fair board members.
Thank you.
Who may choose to go.
Thank you. There you go.
Okay.
And we're authorizing room and board, right?
Room and board, whatever it takes for
doing members' mileage.
And there's a registration fee in there, too.
Oh, yeah, registration.
Yeah, that's just a one-time.
Doing members' mileage.
Oh. I don't know that we've ever done that before.
Okay. Yeah, we should. I mean,
that would be appreciated. And again, we've got the revenue. So
well, again, rather than trying to figure out the dollars,
authorize
5 people plus any or all members of the fair board you choose to go, which is my vote.
Okay. Normal expenses. How about that?
Normal expenses for registration.
And I want to chat with you separately about something.
Okay. You want to decide if any of you want to go there, since current schedule as
all right. Stands. Is there anything else to be added to the motion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
So now we're at fair dates, and yes, good memory that we had talked about changing our fair date so it's not in conflict with Toledo Wooden Boat Show. I would like to put that on the agenda for next month and open that up to the public to come give some input as well. I think if there's anything that we learned from this year, it's that choosing a date. Our fair, any fair, I suppose, is people dependent, and I think picking a slow weekend, I think we can. How do I make this make sense? My mind says picking a busy weekend is better than picking a slow weekend and trying to make it busy. And so I've got a couple of thoughts along those lines, but I want some public input as well. I know I've got 4-H'ers that want to give some input as well. So I would suggest that we put that on the agenda for next month and then open that up to people that want to come give their 2 cents worth.
Okay, and would you be asking us to make a yes-no decision at that meeting as well? Because I know you've got to start the ball rolling.
We certainly need to get the ball rolling. I think that's going to be based. I'm not sure that we're going to have all the information that we need because so much of that is contingent on the shows. Mm-hmm. Once we choose the date, then we've got to go say, can we get a monster truck show? Can we get a rodeo? If we want a carnival, can we get a carnival?
Well, could our messaging about next month's meeting say something to the effect, you know, come, this will be an agenda item, and there's a possibility the fair board may make a decision.
Well, we at least want input regarding fair dates so that the fair board can make an educated or informed decision on what date we ought to consider moving the fair to, if we're going to move it at all.
I would suggest that probably what happens is we have the meeting next month, we discuss this, we come up probably with a tentative date. Then Todd and Shell have
and then we ratify, and then
the following month we'd actually ratify.
Make it official in November.
Yeah. Won't you have some discussions at the convention?
We will gain information from the convention on other fairs and their dates, although we know most of those already. There will definitely be some input that we can gather at that point. It'd be nice if we came away with a tentative date in next month's meeting. Okay. We could take that to OFA and say, this is what we're looking at. Any of you other 36 fairs see a conflict or an issue that we're not seeing, and then make that decision.
Because as I learned, but there was a lot of pushback from the 4-H Association about possibly moving into September.
I don't mind offering that up. We had talked about moving the date to beyond state fair, like some of the other counties have done, and our 4-H group is not keen on that idea at all.
Yeah. There's going to be strong pushback.
Is that a timing issue?
Well, it's a couple of things there. It's timing with regard to school and the fact that it would reduce the show if the kids are expected to be in school on Friday and they just think that it'll really be difficult to have any sort of a quality fair if we do it after the really the end of the summer season.
My big question, and I guess you'll bring us some information on that, is there another summer weekend where we're not going to conflict with some other Lincoln County event?
So I'll just put this bug in your ear. I've looked at all the dates that we think the other fairs are going to be at. The one that is the only one that's intriguing, well, there are two that are intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. One of them happens to be exactly the same weekend as Toledo Street Fair. So I'm guessing that one's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. The other one that's very appealing to me right now is 4th of July weekend. Mm. And there are no other fairs in the state on that weekend at this point. It would be a little difficult to get my 4-H animals in shape by that date, but we're early enough now that I think we could do it. And again, I think we're talking about picking a busy weekend where people are in town. I'm kind of liking that idea. Other than that, there are difficulties with every other summer weekend across the board. They just conflict either with other fairs that are very, very close, and I fear we would have trouble getting the vendors to come, or they interfere with local events. As we stepped on Toledo Wooden Boat Shows weekend, I don't want to do that again. Those are really the two weekends that I see at this point as being possibilities.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you'll come back to us next month.
I will. What I will do is put together some visual material where we can see all the other fair dates, all the other local potential conflicts, and that sort of thing. I'll give my recommendation, but then I want to hear from the public too, and then we can weigh kind of all the pros and cons.
And I don't know if you usually do this, but if you don't, can we make sure a press release is sent out about that public input?
Mr. Miller to issue a press release.
So
yes.
We don't want the "well, we didn't know" after
exactly.
The
press release.
So we really want to make sure the word is out about that.
Yeah.
Before we proceed, I assume we're done with this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Under this other business, I'd like to add public comment.
We've got at least one brother here.
And I think in the future, our agenda item, at some point here, I'm going to have that as a standing item, public comment, in case there is anyone who wishes to comment.
Great.
All right. Anything left?
Nothing from us. Oh, something about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about
the celebration?
Just
we hope we've advertised that far and wide. That's open to anybody that sponsored, supported, or wants to support in the future. The Eagles Club is going to host it. Reduced prices on beverages and food. Saturday night at 6 p.m. We hope we'll see you all there.
So is it basically 6 p.m. until the party peters?
Until the party stops.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. I will pass on one very nice anecdotal comment from Doug Hunt. I bumped into him walking out the door yesterday as I was in here doing some business, and we shook hands, and he said, "How was the fair?" And I said, we were pleased with it. It wasn't horrible by any means, and chatted about it for a few minutes, and then in parting he said, "Todd, I'll be very candid. You came in with a lot of hype and a lot of enthusiasm about the fair, and you've lived up to all of it."
Yeah.
And I thought that was an extremely good compliment in my mind to what we've really tried to make this fair, and I think have succeeded. Not that we're done by any means, but I was very happy to hear that and know that the commissioners supported and the fair board. I've never felt anything but support from you all, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, considering that period after. why don't we do the public comment now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Cool. Yes, come on up.
Moving you up, sir. Moving on up.
Well,
come on down.
I'm sitting right. It's a more comfortable chair than back here. I should have been up here all along.
Don't get too used to it.
Thank you for letting me have a public comment in time.
And we know you, but for the record, just would you mind introducing yourself for the tape and for the minutes and all, Tim?
I was going to get there, Bill.
Okay.
Tim Miller, Sluts, Oregon. Local business owner, natural resources guy. I don't know where to start, but I'm going to throw a bunch of things out there and kind of in a chronological order and maybe let you come with your own conclusions, or I'll probably tell you what my conclusion is to start with. I don't feel, or the Natural Resources Committee does not feel like the county fair is supporting them and or cares about them. And this is why. Last year at the fair, we had, first time, we had some open class animals there. I worked hard to get animals there, and I think everybody appreciated that. We, Farm Bureau, we gave $2,000 to sponsorship in the fair. We sponsored open class premiums. We had $500 for a gate shoot or something. But anyway, we spent $2,000 on the fair. And we budgeted to spend, to sponsor the fair this year for $2,500. It was in our budget. In the spring, I found out that we weren't going to have open class animals at the fair. I was told that it's because I couldn't find a superintendent. I question how hard anybody tried to find a superintendent. Nobody came to me or the Farm Bureau or any natural resources organization asking if we knew of anybody. And I'm sure I could have found somebody. Nobody came to us and asked if we wanted to sponsor the fair again. We waited and waited. So, nobody asked. We kept our money. It was there. All you had to do was ask. So, you don't want our animals here. You don't want our money. Another organization I belong to, Small Woodlands, we brought another log truck loaded with logs here. Brought it, parked it. Thursday night. Friday, I come to the fair. Come through the exhibit hall. Come into the outside exhibit area. I look over towards where the 1955 auto car truck should be parked, but what do I see? I see a wall. Here is a school bus. Next to it is a medical screening, effectively cutting off the fairgrounds at the end of that area. The only way you can get to the truck or the barns is to go all the way around. You couldn't, there's no visual sight line to the rest of the fairgrounds.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure, ask questions.
Because I was there a great deal of the weekend, as I previously said.
Yeah.
And I don't recall seeing what you just described,
the health screening truck moved after the first day, and then the bus moved over.
Okay.
But the first day you came out there, and there it was. You could not see past it. It gave the impression that that was the end of the fair.
Okay. As you know, I have a big interest in this kind of thing, and I spent a lot of time looking at Goodell's truck, the 55 auto car.
Yeah.
But I don't recall when I was down there seeing the particular circumstance you described where it was somehow hidden or out of view. So it couldn't have been for an extended period of time. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, but I know when I was down there, when I walked in there, it was clearly visible to me.
Well, I left the fairgrounds at 2 or 3 on Friday, and it was still there. But when I came back Saturday, the health screen, it had left, and it looked like the school bus had moved and kind of filled the space between where the two of them were.
Okay. Because, again, my experience was that the other was clearly visible.
Have you had any conversations with the folks?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Did you want to comment?
Do you have more to say, Tim, or is that I can address the two items that he brought up. If he has more, I'm anxious to hear.
I just, you know, the, I, we're a small community. To make the fair go, we need all of the entities to have to be there, to give something for everybody to do. But
Addressing Mr. Miller's closing comment, he's correct, and I've said that for the record a million times. If this fairgrounds is going to be successful, it needs to incorporate everybody's interests, and I think we've tried to do that with Ag. We've reached out. We did do an open class show last year. We've reached out to the fishermen. We've done as Mr. Miller commented, Oregon Small Woodlands has supported us 2 years in a row. So I think we do try to do that. Backing up to his specific comments, and we'll address the first one first regarding the superintendent. Mr. Miller said that he knew in the spring we were looking for a superintendent. He never offered anybody up, and we simply didn't have the capacity to do that on our own. And we don't have the capacity to go to each individual person and ask them if they want to be a superintendent. He stated, for the record, on the tape, that he knew we were looking for one and didn't offer anybody up. So I don't know how, I don't know what more we could have done. We did put the word out. We didn't get a superintendent to manage that. And for that reason, we weren't able to do open class animals this year. Addressing the second comment, everybody feels that their exhibit is the most important exhibit in the fair. We do the best we can to organize the fair so that everybody has a good viewership and everybody can see their exhibits. As Mr. Beisman pointed out, the auto car is a very, very neat exhibit, and I love having it there. I'm sorry that it's not more visible at times, but we do the best that we can, and from different directions it is visible, from different directions it isn't. The helicopter is not terribly visible when it's down in the hole, but yet they had double their ridership from the year before. So I think it's we'll continually try to organize that fairgrounds in a way where everything's visible and everybody gets equal representation, but sometimes that's just clearly not possible to do as much as we would like, especially when we're talking about just a 7-acre fairgrounds and trying to get everything that we can on that fairgrounds becomes difficult at times. I'm happy to work with Mr. Miller if he'll come talk to me, and we'll try to make those things work in the future.
Great.
All right. Yeah. What's done is done. In the interest, however, of moving forward for next year and beyond, is it possible, and mostly this question is addressed to Mr. Miller, can we have someone, whether it's yourself or someone else, who will be at least an initial point of contact for Todd and his staff? They are not necessarily going to have to be the superintendent or whatever it is, but a point of contact that they can call and say, okay, you know, we're planning next year's fair. Who's going to be the superintendent for the animals? Who's going to be the representative of Small Woodlands? So we can start incorporating those people into our planning and doing that. And as an aside, one of the things I missed that, and you did it last year, they didn't have the guess the scale on the log truck.
That was another Eclipse thing. We couldn't get anybody. It's one of those things you kind of have to man it, and we couldn't get people
because they didn't want to come out.
Couldn't get people. Sure. There, people were afraid to come, so we couldn't man it.
That's too bad.
I won it last year, and I actually tied with somebody else, as you'll recall.
Yeah.
And you did the scale.
Yeah.
After the fact, but the fact is that I walked over there. Said, well, I'm going to go win this thing again. I've seen the auto car sitting there, and there's nobody there. And
we need a rule to prevent fair board members.
I will tell you, Frank, that when I entered, I said, if I won, I would give the money back to the fair. And in fact, I did write the check to the fair for my half that they gave. But my point is that, you know, that there were a lot of people who walked over there and signed up, you know, to guess the scale on the truck and that kind of thing, and I was disappointed. I understand the problem with the manning, the Eclipse and everything this particular year, but for future reference, I was disappointed that there wasn't somebody there who could do the scale guess and talk about the actual truck. Now, me being me, I have an interest in that kind of thing, and I know what I'm looking at. But a lot of people don't. And it was very helpful to have somebody there who was knowledgeable about the vehicle and could talk to people about it, Tim. So in the interest of moving ahead, in next year and beyond, can we have a point of contact that can be called, and that person is either going to do it or is going to say, okay, I will find a person in small woodlands, or I will find the person in the animal group that will be your superintendent and will handle this part of it for you to work with Todd. Can we do something like that to move this forward and get your interest at the fair?
After last year, I would have thought it would be common knowledge that I would be that person, that they would at least come to me and ask.
I did not want to make that assumption here at this meeting that you were in. I know you're here speaking for the folks, but I didn't want to just hang that on you on my own assumption. So that's why I'm asking you.
Yes.
If it's going to be you, that would be great, but can you do that for us?
At this point in time, anything with the natural resources, small woodlands, or Farm Bureau, I am that point.
Okay, well, I certainly know how to reach you, so.
But to rebut Todd here just a little bit, the time I found out that they were not going to have open class and they didn't have a superintendent, it was already a done deal, I asked for, hey, if you give me the job description for the superintendent, maybe I can find somebody. I never got the job description. I can't go hire somebody without knowing what their job's going to be.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Jim, let Bill have a chance.
No, I think you're on a good track. He's on the kind of track I was going to have, setting up some kind of a communication.
I get that. And I think probably, to some extent, the person who's going to be the superintendent of those things is, to a great degree, going to have to kind of write their own job description, if you will, because they know their issue, they know, you know, their displays and all of this kind of stuff, and they work with Todd to see to it that the job description that is kind of developed, it doesn't have to be anything real formal or anything, but it is consistent, if you will, with FAIR's objectives. Now, I understand that Todd, because he's got to manage all these different things, so doesn't really have the time to go and, for instance, develop the individual job descriptions. He is, to some extent, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, reliant upon these people to just like Colleen. I work with Colleen a lot. She knows her area. She knows what she's supposed to do and all the rest of it. Todd doesn't have to tell her. We need somebody from your area who can, if you will, be the Colleen, who knows the area, knows what needs to be done, gets it lined up with Todd in advance, and so forth. Can we do something like that?
Well, we don't.
We actually, Jim, do have those job descriptions, and I don't remember that request ever coming to me.
Well,
that's
all water under the bridge. I want to figure out how we're going to move forward.
I just simply need somebody that's interested in doing it, and will come meet with me and talk about doing it.
But
and we never developed that first
name from somebody.
Yeah.
At the moment now, Jim. Okay, you volunteered. Yeah. Put the onus on you.
Yeah.
Todd will call you and say, okay, for your 2018 fair, who's the people going to be?
Would
that be okay?
It's fine.
And Jim, I'm going to put a little more onus on Tim. I'm going to say, you've got my number. Send me whoever I need to. Whoever's going to contact me to be the superintendent, I'm willing to talk to him.
We can do that right away.
I'm ready to go.
Tim.
Okay. But I need a job description.
I will get that to you.
Okay.
No problem.
How do you want it? Mail, fax, email?
I prefer hard copy.
It'll be on the desk.
I know where you're out and live out there, and I don't know what kind of internet access you have, if any, and so forth.
It's slow.
Miller Farms, I've got his email.
You live out there like I do in the boomers. Internet access is not the greatest thing in the world.
But yeah, when I go to pull up the fair book, you know, it's 20, 25 minutes to pull up the damn fair book.
Really? That's slow internet.
Yeah, that's.
I assume any job description is going to be revised anyway.
Well, it certainly will be, and I don't want it to be a static job description either. Right. That the if what I my MO, if you will, is I want people to have ownership of the various departments of the fair. So if Bill Rendell comes to me and says, "Hey, for rodeo, we'd really like to do X," I say, "Bill, make it happen. That's absolutely fine." Well, you'd think you could clear that, wouldn't you? I say, that's fine. Let's run with it. We just simply need to have the communication with it within all of the different facets of the fair to make sure that what we're trying to do does indeed work.
Okay, at least for the moment then, you're going to get the job description.
Yep.
You're going to mail them to Tim. Tim's going to take a look at them, and if they're okay, fine. If he thinks there should be some suggestions, he's going to make some suggested changes. Guys are going to come to an agreement on the job descriptions. Tim, you're going to propose names for the two superintendents, Small Woodlands and the Animals. And then Todd will contact and work with those individuals. And next year, those two interests will be at the fair.
With the one caveat.
Okay.
That the fair date stays in August. If the fair, like, could move to the to the 4th of July weekend, there's the people I have in mind would not be able to be the superintendent. So that's just.
And that's the kind of input I think.
So that's one thing we keep in mind in next month's discussion.
Yeah. Because if I can make public comment to on the date now, because I see the date.
And feels ready.
Yes.
I have a conflict and can't be here next month.
Okay.
As far as the farm community, agriculture community, August is the only time that we can participate in a fair.
Okay.
Because everybody is making hay in July, and it's...
Well, the sun is shining.
Well, the sun is shining, and we're trying to get it in as soon as possible, and we get the best quality. And we just can't participate.
Right. I remember you telling me when I think I first told you we were looking at the move from July to August. You said that would be, provide an opportunity for the ag community to return.
And,
So
does this mean I'll get to guess the scale again next year?
If you can get the people, right?
Well, it's a very challenging... I mean, this is big picture stuff, and I don't think we can...
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And can't be ideal for everybody and every entity and every event and every somebody will be it will be less than optimum for somebody,
but if I can at least get this communication going here and see if we can't make arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
We should have the Small Woodlands and the Animals there. Absolutely no debate about that, but we got to get the coordination together a little better. Okay,
so it sounds like that's on track now, hopefully.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay, let's have the master plan refinement update.
I think we've been already up to the one meeting from the other. So we're going full force in gathering the information. We need the background information for the description of the existing facilities. And that part of the process. Mr. Beisman and I are part of the team. We actually have an interesting thing. They have a website in which we all download various bits of information and that they gather to support the necessary background that they need in order to move forward with the planning process. And I want to thank Todd and I know Michelle. They've already been providing some information. We're going to be providing more information. So we're in that mode right now where they're doing a whole bunch of information gathering. I want to note, I did get a call from the lead agency, which is Cogan Owens Green, and they are a firm that's been around for close to 40 years. They are actually undergoing some changes in terms of some of their principal partners are actually retiring. And so Cogan Owens Green as an entity will probably no longer be continuing. The principals who are involved with our planning process remain the same, and they're going to be affiliating with another agency in Portland, another well-known agency. So if you won't see that name, Cogan Owens Green, necessarily in the future there, we'll assign the responsibilities and relationship to the new firm. They're not changing anything in terms of scope of work or the cost for doing anything. And I wanted to just give you a heads up on the new relationship. We're working on doing the scheduling now. We started a process where at least I participate, and hopefully I've got Mr. Weisman scheduled in, where we're checking in every 2 weeks on a conference call to make sure we're on board with the things we're doing. Our next conference call is actually tomorrow to keep going. And kind of a last thing in terms of where we're going is we're exploring the possibility of actually doing a small contract to bring on somebody to assist the county and the fair and this thing. It's a pretty daunting
supervising
task.
The project.
So supervising exactly. The project. So I've been talking to a couple of people who might be available to do this great. On a part-time basis. I'm finding it's overwhelming me.
And we've got enough funds to do it, though.
That's the thing that I'm sitting down with yeah. the finance director to try and identify Verify. Where the funds can come from to do that. So that would probably be happening in the not-too-distant future.
Another thing related to this, if I could ask, Wayne,
sure.
that do you have that you can show us, maybe, or we could go over at some point, a proposed roster for the plan committee, because I know
yes, we've been working on that, but
we've put out various names, but yeah. I just like to make sure that somebody hasn't gotten forgotten.
No,
or
that's one of the next things we actually have to
which,
do one of the functions on
yeah.
because we're going to be starting okay. sometime in October to actually convene that committee with our public input process.
Because I know all three of so us have put names forward, entities have put names forward, but I just want
to make
sure we
get
have
out
a chance
to you.
Verify.
Let me get out to you in the next week. A roster of who we've got kind of identified to, at this
yeah.
point. And I'm still, we've asked for representatives. We got someone who's been suggested by the city of Newport. I know Lincoln City's working on it.
Right.
Designee, I haven't heard the official word yet at this point. So let me put out that what we've got
Please
is a
do,
preliminary list.
I just want to make sure that somebody hasn't slipped through the cracks.
Sure. We can do that.
So backing up one item, what specific kind of talents or skills are you hoping this person will have to facilitate?
Well, I can tell you, one of the persons I've been talking to has a great deal of public experience with a combination of project management. So it's really one of those things that the person understands, how to take a project and get it from point A to point Z, being fruition and completion. So I have a lot of experience doing that. Has it in the public sector, has worked in the public sector, does that. Also is somebody who's well enough known in the community who can convene the necessary people, kind of work. Part of actually what Bill just pointed in here is we've been kind of taking the list and doing this, but we haven't really been doing enough outreach to people to get on the committee. I don't have the time to do that,
right.
to individually call all these people. This is something this person could do to kind of do that. And then really be making sure that we've got the information out to the public, that they know the opportunities and the locations and times that they can weigh in. It's great to see Tim Miller in here today talking a little bit about the fair, that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of people we want to bring to the table to talk about all the different things that we envision for the grounds here, all the things happening here. Really making that concerted effort. The consultants will be doing the actual process here, but you need that local contact and connection in here, and that's what we're hoping to get that kind of space.
Well. Okay.
And I don't know, since Roy's the only one person here, I don't know that we have any additional county staff updates.
Facility related or anything?
Other than the fact that I know Jack and the crew were out there during the fair event and at times as necessary, but everything seemed to go, other than the original toilet issue.
Yeah.
On day one, yeah.
On day one, we had an issue with what's
Last year it was the electricity, this year it was the toilet.
I'll be so happy when we develop new facilities, to make those kinds of things a thing of the past.
I do want to acknowledge that the new signage is up.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. And I was curious. There seems to be a failing directly north of the sinkhole on the middle school property. Is there any relationship?
No, that's the city of Newport. They're doing work on some of their sewer system or their pump station. That's
Oh, so that's not a sinkhole?
No.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's deliberate excavation.
I saw it was all fenced off, and I wondered if it had.
No, they've been working on that for a couple months. I'm not really sure what's going on, but that's one of their pump stations, and they have a contractor comes in once in a while and does work there. So okay. That is totally unrelated.
Did you have this other thought?
Tenure brought up the fact that last year we authorized at OFA me or Michelle to vote on behalf of Lincoln County. I don't remember if that was just an annual thing and we need to re-up that, or in the absence of one of you there to be our voting member, I don't know what you want to do there.
I would say that those exact words, in the absence of any clear board member, it would be Todd.
So I would, or Michelle. So I would so move. Okay.
Second.
Jim?
Sorry, I'm going to talk with Tim in a few minutes. What do we got?
Just a motion to reauthorize what we said last year in the absence of any four fair board members at OFA, either Todd or Michelle are authorized to be our voting representatives.
Are we authorizing specifically one of them, or in that order?
In that order, we do that. Yeah.
So if none of us are present, Todd is first in line, and if Todd is not there, then Michelle is authorized. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. The motion.
I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
30.
Aye. All right. It's unanimous.
One last thing with OFA. I'm sorry. Do we have to bring or provide some kind of
we have usually traditionally done too, where we do some sort of basket and you guys come up with something even more stellar. So Casey's often very good on that.
Casey is really good on that. But we'll do that again this year. That requires a little expenditure of money.
They have both an oral and a silent auction, depending on what it might be.
All right.
Very good. Any more on county staff update? Jim, you were...
No, I didn't have anything. If Roy
did not.
Good.
No, okay.
Jack, you've talked with Jack. Is Jack okay?
Jack's never okay.
But in the sense I'm talking about.
Well, the only thing that I heard him talk about as far as the fair went was the one vendor with the trailer that they had some political issues. Kind of, I guess, the fence was hot for a while. But that was actually, they traced it out, it was actually a problem within the vendor's trailer. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't actually county infrastructure, it was a private deal. So they got that straightened out. But that was the only horror story that you really had to tell.
They put the new RV hookup spots over along the fence next to the sheriff's yard that really is for sheriff and so forth.
Right.
Nonetheless, the fair... was allowed to use them. People are in the fair. Are you aware that there was any problems with the system they installed, or did that all come off as planned?
I did not hear of any problems. Jack did not relay any problems to me. Let's put it that way. He didn't tell me.
You probably would have heard about it.
You probably would have heard about it.
I would have heard about it.
Safely assume those facilities are working as planned. That's all I have.
All right, very good. Then if there is no further business, we are adjourned.